All right, everyone. Welcome to the Sports Gambling Podcast. We're doing it via remote tonight. I'm back in Pennsylvania. This is Sean, making the money green, of course, with my partner in picks, Ryan, Big Dog Kramer. What's happening, Ryan?
You could still say live. We're still doing it live. We're just not looking.
Yes, we are. We're doing it live. Doing it live here via Skype. So if that's if you have any sound issues, that's what I'm going to blame it on. I'm back here in Pennsylvania. Actually, I've got two weddings on Saturday. Two of my buddies have a wedding on the same day. It's right out of a rom-com script. And I also just did, last night, I just did some stand-up comedy at Penn State. So kind of a weird place to do stand-up comedy, especially one night after their rioting in support of a man who helped cover up a near decade-long scandal in pedophilia. Ryan, what's your take on this Penn State?
It was basically the whole school. I mean, a lot of people knew about this. The best part is I saw like a timeline of events, and it was sometime in 97 or 98, after he had already gotten in trouble, I guess, he was on record as stating he would no longer shower with young boys.
Yeah, I mean, basically when you have to release a statement like that, things are not going well. And yeah, now you know, more and more stuff just keeps coming out. Supposedly, as recent as 2010, Sandusky was going out and helping to recruit Penn State players. Well, there's also this crazy rumor that supposedly, I mean, this guy set up this Second Mile Foundation, which was like a home for underprivileged boys. And now supposedly there's a rumor that he was using this as a front to kind of like pimp out these kids to wealthy Penn State donors. There's this whole thing going on behind the scenes. Pretty crazy.
I saw that, but the kicker for me was that when they kind of like pushed him away a little bit at one point when he retired and the whole.
Yeah, well, he retired in 99, right after the 98 stuff. So Joe Pa and everyone else was aware of why the guy was retiring, I'm sure.
But then back in 2002, I think, they started letting him be involved with their kids' camps, their Penn State kids' like football camps, which is crazy. Like, what are
right.
they expect? Well, this is crazy.
He took him to the I mean, just the fact that you keep bringing these kids, like, you're sharing a hotel with the kids. I mean, just like the abnormal behavior should have been a red flag. All right, I'll give you a pass on that. But when the graduate assistant walks in on the guy getting raping the kid, and then you still have to kind of like, well, I don't know what we're going to do here. No, you call the FBI. You get this guy taken care of. It's insane.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I get it, trying to like keep your buddy, like a longtime player and coach for you, from getting, you know, in serious trouble, but like that, though, there's like two crimes that you can't, like three crimes you can't like kind of cover up. Murder, rape, and child rape, I guess that's one crime. But yeah, it's crazy. Like,
Right. It's not like he was caught stealing money out of the pension, or, you know, he had a drug issue that he kind of wanted to keep secret. He was fucking little kids. And it's insane how up at Penn State those people were just like blindly supporting Joe Paterno. Like, it's a media witch hunt. They couldn't believe that the Board of Trustees took out Joe Paterno. Everyone that knew about this should get fired.
This is the same Penn
crazy.
State where the students dressed up like Virginia Tech students with bullet holes in their sweatshirts. So, you know, you know how to ask me.
Well, that's different, Ryan.
Is that?
that's at least potentially funny. It's not like supporting Joe Paterno. But the real question here, Ryan, and I know we spoke of the victims. They're first in our minds. But the second is the victims you don't hear about is the bookies. How are you going to set a line for this game with so much going on? How do you set a line here?
Well, it's going to be one or two things, right? Either they come out like playing like crazy, or they come out and just lay a complete egg. I don't know. That's tough. They're saying that security's got to be heightened. I think if anything, I think the Nebraska players might be a little rattled.
Yeah, it's got to be weird coming into that environment.
I would say take Penn State this weekend. They're going to be fired up.
Well, it was a Penn State -4. Now I just checked recently before we started the show. It's now Penn State -3.
Oh wow! So I like that. I might have to grab it.
You might have to grab it, huh? Pulling a Sandusky over there. All right. Let's. Well, first off, guys, thank you for supporting the show. And you can log on to winthetrophy.com. Enter the referral code STG. You can sign up there. It's free fantasy gambling. You can actually win real money by making picks on there. I'm currently 35, 35, and 5. But I've made a couple bucks just because as soon as you get up above 1,000 credits for the week, you can start earning cash. All right, let's take a look at what happened in Week 9. First game, we were, we thought this was easy money. The Buffalo Bills at home. We couldn't figure out why it wasn't a 3-point spread, but Bills didn't cover. They got beat outright, and they got beat pretty handedly by the Jets, 27-11. What are your thoughts here moving forward, Ryan? Are the Buffalo Bills contenders or pretenders?
I mean, this is the I think the Jets smashed the mirrors that the Bills were using in their smoke and mirrors. I don't know. It makes me a little nervous that the Bills, maybe this is the beginning of the end for them, or it's just that the Jets kind of match up perfectly against them. I mean, that they have a really strong defensive backfield, and that's kind of what the Bills do best. And they just have a really good defense, and I think that's what maybe we forgot because they've played some bad games or the offense has screwed them. So I don't know. I think the Jets have kind of made a statement that they're the team to beat in the East right now with the way the Patriots are playing. So.
Yeah, the AFC East has really been a crazy toss-up. Before, you know, a couple weeks ago, it was like, oh, is it going to be the Bills or the Patriots? But now, Jets making a move for the AFC East. All right, now we have Seattle at Dallas. Seattle is getting 11.5, maybe 12.5, depending on where you got it at. But they were getting near 2 touchdowns, and that was enough for them to cover, just barely. And it seemed like the Seattle players, they lost 23-13. Dallas didn't look great again, but, you know, they beat Seattle by 10 points still. Seattle was seemingly playing for the cover. Right? Am I wrong, Ryan, when we were watching this game?
Just like we said, it's beautiful. It was the perfect backdoor. It was the Tavares Jackson special. And, it was a weird game. What was crazy is the early games were so bad that this was actually the closest game, I think, in the fourth quarter of the 10 a.m. Pacific starts.
A lot of blowouts early, one of which was the Atlanta Falcons smoking the Indianapolis Colts 31-7. Once again, it just seems like the smart money is against Indy every week. This team hasn't shown me anything as of late that they can cover or win a game. Maybe this changes next week, but I'm pretty far off on this Indianapolis Colts, and maybe a nice win for Atlanta. Maybe they get some momentum. Maybe they roll out here as one of the NFC South favorites. What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, there's not much to say here. Atlanta won like they should have, and Indy's quit on their coach. I understand that Peyton's out, and you kind of have to give everyone a pass. But I honestly, how does he not get fired? I mean, they've looked awful.
Yeah, they have not shown up at all. Team previously, who hadn't shown up much, the Miami Dolphins, winning their first game 31-3 in Arrowhead. I got to admit, I thought I like Kansas City here. I thought they were getting a little momentum. Obviously, they're not a great team, but at home, I thought they could handle the Miami Dolphins. What went wrong here for the Kansas City Chiefs?
I mean, it was written on the wall. We just chose to ignore it. Miami had been playing some tough games, and they at least had hope, and they seemed to still be playing for their coach. And Kansas City had just kind of won a game they probably shouldn't and maybe were overrated because of that.
And short week.
Yeah, I think Romeo Crennel just had a perfect perfect game plan for the Chargers, and they kind of reverted back to their old crappy self. Matt Castle can't throw the ball downfield, and with no Jamal Charles, they can't really run the ball. So, yeah, this game was over when it was 14-0.
All right, now this game we thought would be a little bit closer, but, you know, we had 8 points, felt pretty good, but, man, the Saints held on and won by 11, 27-16. Felt like there was a chance for Tampa to, you know, some sort of backdoor cover, but they just couldn't quite pull it off. Josh Freeman's thumb's injured. They just don't seem to be that same team as they were last year. I mean, they were 10-6 last year. They had moments where they looked strong last year, but everyone seemingly thought they were going to take a step back, and it feels like that's what's happened here.
Yeah, this was a partial kick in the nuts. The way Drew Brees teased us came out like they were going to go for it on fourth down there.
Oh, yeah.
And basically,
well, yeah, this is another one of these games where New Orleans was up 24-16 late, and there was a chance, oh, okay, hey, if they get this last first down, then they can just kneel it. But, of course, Tampa then decides to play tough defense, stops them. So New Orleans is able to kick a field goal to, you know, screw up the spread.
Yeah, and the other interesting thing here is somehow Josh Freeman has turned this dumb injury into an excuse to gain 50 pounds and not be able to run the ball anymore. It's pretty unbelievable how less nimble he looks this year than last year.
Has he put on a lot of weight? I haven't noticed the weight, but it does seem like he's running less.
I feel like last year he was running for like a big first down, like, you know, at least 3-4 times a game, and now this year he can't move at all.
Yeah. All right, so now this one, I was pretty high on this game. I think it might have been my lock of the week. I'm not sure, but I was all over San Francisco -3.5 in Washington. Got a little nervous there because San Francisco just doesn't have an ability to score. But 19 points was enough. Washington finally scored a touchdown, which seems like it's been a long time for these Redskins. But the Redskins just seem awful. I don't think San Francisco did much impressive here. They just ran the ball, played tough defense, and won 19-11 and covered the spread.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit last week. This is why you can't take San Francisco in big spreads, because that team can't do anything but drive to like the 35-yard line and kick field goals. They're probably the least exciting, worst, best team we've seen in the NFL in a while. And Washington, I mean, they've quit on their coach because their coach is an idiot. He benched their best quarterback and is sticking with a horrible quarterback. So I think Washington might be a team you have to continue to bet against. I mean, John Beck's not good at all. He might be worse than Tebow.
All right, Houston at Cleveland. Houston seemed to whip up on the Cleveland Browns 30-12. Any thoughts going forward with both these teams? I feel like we got these teams figured out here.
Yeah, I mean, I should take credit for calling this Houston rise to dominance. Granted, I've been calling it every year for the past 3 years, but I think they're good. I think they're a legitimately good team, and one might argue that the AFC is relatively weak in terms of there's not really a dominant team that's stood out yet, and Houston has seemed to be as good as any of them. So I think, you know, I think they might be one of the contenders right now to win the AFC.
Yeah, especially now that they get Andre Johnson back after the bye. It sounds like they're going to sit him again this week. So look out for Houston in the second half. I mean, with Peyton Manning out, I think, yeah, I mean, the division's theirs, and it's just going to see what Houston does when they finally make the playoffs. I guess we'll have to see. A team that no one thought was headed to the playoffs this year, but under the command of Mr. Andy Dalton, the Cincinnati Bengals looking sharp. Nice 24-17 victory over the Tennessee Titans in Tennessee. Ryan, does Cincinnati have a chance to win their division?
I think it gets interesting. I mean, they still have 4 games, two against Pittsburgh, 2 against Baltimore. They start this weekend against Pittsburgh. I think they definitely have a shot. They have a top 5 defense. They can run the ball. They have a really dominant, they have a really nice wide receiver, a nice tight end, and they have a quarterback that's not really screwing up, even though he's a rookie. And if you're someone who might have laid a bet on, say, Andy Dalton to win Rookie of the Year at 17-1 before the season, you're probably feeling pretty good right now, like I am.
Really? How much you throw on that run?
$50.
Nice. Well, that'd be a pretty big payday. You know, and if Cincinnati goes to the playoffs, how can you not give it to Andy Dalton?
Here was my logic. He was 17-1, and Cam Newton was like 4-1. And I was like, well, they're both starting. They both have a shot. I don't know.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, everyone thought Cincy wouldn't be this good, but defense has stepped up, and yeah, they're looking sharp, man. Another team that we thought was down and out. We were celebrating the football gods giving us the gift known as Tim Tebow. Tim told us, thou shalt not worship false idols. And he showed us. Denver Broncos beat the Oakland Raiders 38-24. Denver 8-point dogs, winning by 14. Ryan, is this the Tim Tebow era?
I can't figure out this AFC West. I think I'm almost going to have to make a new rule for myself. I can't bet on these games. They don't make sense. It seems like the team you expect to win for sure doesn't even cover the spread. So I don't know. I think Carson Palmer probably needed one more week, And I think look, they just ran the ball, and maybe if they figured out they're running the college offense that he ran at Florida, so maybe he'll be successful running that spread option. Who knows?
All right, New York Giants went up to Foxborough, took care of the Patriots, 24-20. Both teams seemed to want to give away this game, throwing some turnovers, key moments. But Giants held on, and a big win for them moving forward. 9-point dogs winning in New England.
That's a great Joe Buck impression there, Sean. No emotion. Great game. Probably back to the Super Bowl with big passes down the field to number 85. Yeah, this was awesome. I mean, they were 4-1 dogs. Of course, I bet the money line. I don't know what to tell you. They look good. Eli looked good in the fourth quarter like he always does. It's a big game. Big game for the Giants. And I don't know, kind of last two games for the Patriots, they've kind of been exposed on offense. They don't have that vertical passing threat.
Yeah, their offense. I mean, Brady was off to a crazy start to begin the season and just hit the wall.
I mean, to be fair, you do need one thing Pittsburgh and the Giants have in common is they can get to the quarterback without blitzing a ton. So it will be interesting to see how New England fares against the Jets, who rely more on the blitz to get to the quarterback. So,
all right, Arizona at St. Louis. Arizona won with a kick return for a touchdown in overtime, 19-13. Both these teams are garbage. Not much more to say there.
Although I will say that's one of the plays of the year so far. That punt return. Not only did he catch it on like the 1 yard line, but he broke like three tackles, juked another guy. It was a pretty awesome individual play.
Basically, exactly what you're not supposed to do. Field a punt at the one, and it worked out for him in his favor. Now, the Green Bay Packers, they just seem unstoppable. 45-38 against the San Diego Chargers. Chargers played hard in this game. It was not easy for Green Bay to hold on, but they did. Put up a ton of points. Aaron Rodgers, I mean, I just don't know how you beat this team right now. Green Bay, it just seems impossible.
I mean, they did show one thing, that they are not a great defense. And, you know, a San Diego team who's been struggling all year to score points, put up points at will. So I think you're going to, I think if a team can go in there, put pressure on Rodgers without blitzing, and has the ability to score points, I think you get a team that has a shot. I mean, if you look at their schedule, they really only have two. You know, they go to Detroit for Thanksgiving, and then they go to New York to play the Giants after that. And other than that, I don't see where they lose. So we might be looking at a 16-0 team.
Crazy, 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 and a crazy game from a gambling perspective. The Baltimore Ravens versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. This one got me good.
So we should point out, Sean, that this really was, for me at least, we watched this together, and we had basically the same bet on this. And this was the first real kick in the nuts of the 2011 season for me, where you take Pittsburgh -3.5 or -3, you got under 42, and you're feeling good about it. You know, Pittsburgh finally makes that run like you thought they were going to. They get up by 4. They're in the under. Everything looks good. All they have
20-16.
All they have to do is stop Joe Flacco from driving 92 yards. And
at home against their rival,
they let him drive down. It still looked good. There's like 15 seconds left, and the safety Ryan Grant, who just got fined $40,000 this week for a hit that I don't think was even illegal. That's a side note. But he somehow let the receiver get behind him, and unbelievable.
Back-to-back plays, they let that Torrey Smith get behind the – I mean, you know they're going for it. They just went for a bomb. Torrey Smith reaches out. It hits his hands, and he drops the ball, and you're like, oh, my God, this is amazing. I can't believe that's the play we needed, that we're fine. Because obviously – I mean – okay, now Baltimore showed their hand. You know what they're going to do. And then they just do that exact same play on the opposite side of the field, and it works for a touchdown. Kills the over, or it hits the over because we bet the under. Kills that, and it kills the Pittsburgh win. Tough
one. Honestly, I think that moment is why Cincinnati can win this division. Because that Pittsburgh defense is not what they were. Baltimore's offense doesn't scare anyone. I just think – there's nothing about those two teams that Cincy can't overcome.
it's crazy to be this far into the season and feel like the majority of the divisions are really up in the air. It's pretty exciting. Now, the Chicago Bears came into Philly, had a nice victory for them, 30-24. It's pretty much been the same story for the Eagles, why they're losing. They're soft up the middle. They're getting, you know, Chicago was able to run on them. Chicago's offensive line played well. Philly couldn't get to them. And a couple key turnovers from the Eagles. DeSean Jackson's fumbled punt, Michael Vick interception. And it's pretty easy to see why they lost.
Yeah, and this was, I mean, we talked about it. The spread was way too big. It didn't make any sense why it was.
Yeah, Bears won by 6, but they were getting 8 points.
I mean,
that seemed crazy. I was thinking it should have been, Eagles -3, -4 maybe.
Not to mention that Chicago historically plays Philly very well. That defense always seems to slow down the high-powered Eagles offense, so.
Yeah, that line made no sense. All right, since we're taping this late, the Thursday game already happened. The Chargers were 7-point favorites in San Diego, but lost to the Raiders outright. Any thoughts on this game?
I'll tell you, because I work with folks who aren't big football fans, but they all partake in a pick 'em. And we were talking about this game, and I laid it out. I'm like, smart move, probably on Oakland. These AFC West matchups, the dog seems to be winning more than not. But I ended up taking San Diego because I felt like it was going to be their coming out game where they just blow Oakland out of the water. The offense finally righted, but they looked like shit, and that makes me believe that Green Bay's defense is even worse than I thought. I mean, if Oakland's defense can shut down the, I don't know, I couldn't believe it. I didn't watch the game. I was at a sports bar mainly focusing on the Virginia Tech game, but I was there with a lot of Raider fans, and they were getting pretty excited, so.
Yeah, it's hot. It's AFC West, you cannot figure it out because San Diego or Oakland just lost to Denver at home. And then to come into San Diego and beat San Diego,
it's a mess.
Does not make sense at all. All right, New Orleans Saints heading into Atlanta. Right now it's at a pick 'em. What do you think, Ryan? Who's going to win this?
I think that everyone forgot what New Orleans looked like 2 weeks ago. I think New Orleans got lucky. And they played a team that, I mean, Tampa is they're like historically bad defensive screen passes. And if you watch that game, New Orleans basically beat Tampa by 11 because they couldn't stop their screen passes. I'm starting to think that if you can slow down Darren Sproles, you're going to slow down this New Orleans team. And that's what the Rams did a couple weeks ago. That combined with Atlanta playing really well and it being at home and they seem to have a strong defense this year. Their offense does what it does. New Orleans defense doesn't really scare anyone. I was a little bit shocked to see this spread was it opened at New Orleans -1 and settled in at Pick'em. I was a little shocked to see that. I thought Atlanta, it might be like a classic Atlanta -2 kind of spread, Atlanta -2.5. So I'm all over Atlanta in this game. I like them to definitely win by a field goal, if not a little bit more.
Okay, now a AFC North division matchup that we had talked about. The Bengals at home getting 3 points against the Steelers. I'm going to have to take the Bengals here in the 3 points. I feel good about this team. They're playing well. Steelers, I got to imagine, kind of deflated coming off that loss at home to the Ravens. But then again, who knows? But I say take Cincy here. This is tough to bet on these games, these AFC North games. I feel kind of burned by just this division right now. So I would stay away from this, but if I had to pick, I would go with the Bengals +3.
I felt the same way at 3, but then today, actually, the spread moved to 3.5, and it looks like it's going to move to 4. And at 3.5, I love Cincy. I love Cincy getting the points at home. Like we talked about earlier, I think Pittsburgh's defense is not the scary defense they once were, and I don't think they're going to be able to rattle Dalton too much, especially because he's at home. I think since he's going to play tough defense, and I think they could. The thing that scares me is I could see Pittsburgh blowing them out, but I couldn't see Cincy blowing out Pittsburgh. But I'm going to roll with it and say that Pittsburgh wins with a late field goal, or Cincy wins with a late field goal. But I think it'll be decided by 3 points.
Okay, the Kansas City Chiefs at home against the Denver Broncos. Broncos getting 3 points. Call me crazy, Ryan. I'm rolling with my man Tebow. What do you think?
Well, we just talked about it. I guess you should take the points with these AFC West matchups. I just fear that we're now overreacting to the overreaction that was last week. So, I don't know. I like Romeo Crennel. He can game plan, and if they really are going to try to run nothing but the spread option, I can't take Denver. Although it's probably the smart money, that's tough for me. I'm going to roll with Kansas City.
Okay, now another matchup of two bad teams, Jacksonville Jaguars heading into Indy, where the Colts are 3-point home dogs. Ryan, is this where Indy gets on the win column? Is this where they get on the board with their first victory of the season, or do the Jags rack up another victory?
It's tough for me to take Blaine Gabbert laying any kind of points because he's been so bad for Jacksonville, but I don't know. I can't bet on this Indy team until they quit on their coach. They quit on their season. I mean, people are in the stands wearing number 12 Luck jerseys. I can't pick them. I can't pick them. Maybe this is the game they win. I mean, they don't have too many chances left, but I'm going to roll with Jacksonville against my better judgment.
Yeah. I mean, this is when you have two bad teams like this. My rule of thumb is who is the best player on the field? And you got to say, oh, maybe it's Dwight Freeney, but I say maybe at least on offense, Maurice Jones-Drew, and he's the only guy who seems like on either side that can make a play, so I'm going to have to roll with them.
Not to mention that Jacksonville actually has a top 10 defense this year, so I don't see Indy scoring too much.
And Jacksonville has won. I mean, they beat the Ravens, so I mean, they've beaten quality teams. And
somehow they actually play for Jack Del Rio, even though he's like continually made bad decisions for the team.
All right, now the Buffalo Bills licking their wounds, heading into Dallas, where looks like the Bills right now, 5-point underdogs. Maybe against a better judgment, but I like the Bills here, man. I don't know. I think Miles Austin is out for the Cowboys. I wouldn't be surprised if the Cowboys won. I just don't see why it's that much higher than 3 points right now.
This is definitely a why is that spread not game. I mean, I guess Buffalo had one bad game, and people are ready to – I mean, we're talking about a Cowboy team that hasn't really looked good all season, and a Buffalo team who has looked good for most of the season with the exception of one game last week. So, I mean, I don't think Dallas's defense is as good as the Jets, and I think Buffalo moves the ball, and you know, I think they might even win this game. So I'm definitely taking the Bills plus the 5 or 5.5 points.
Okay, now you're – your Houston Texans, Ryan, rolling into the Tampa Bay Bucks. So the Bucks are getting 3 points at home. And call me crazy, I like the Bucks here, man. I like LeGarrette Blount. I know this team is not as good as they were last year, but this just strikes me as a game they would win.
I'm going to tell you why you're crazy.
All right, lay it on me.
We just talked about it. Houston's a legitimately good team. I thought for sure this line would be in the 6-point range. Tampa hasn't shown anything. They don't really get after the quarterback on defense. They don't really stop the run. I think you're going to see Ben Tate and Arian Foster just run all over Tampa Bay. And Josh Freeman just hasn't looked good. They don't scare you on offense. So I think Houston actually wins in a blowout. I think this is going to be like a 31-13 kind of game.
Well, I hope so. That's who it's one of the teams we picked in our Las Vegas Hilton contest. All right, now a game we shied away from picking here, not one of the five teams we picked for the Las Vegas Super Hilton contest. Carolina Panthers at home, 3-point favorites against the Tennessee Titans. Titans coming in getting 3 points, kind of like the Titans here. I know I've had a man crush on my boy Cam Newton all season, but you got to look at the fact that they're not winning games. They're great as an underdog getting points and getting you a garbage touchdown late. But I don't think they can cover the spread. Their defense is pretty awful. And I think Tennessee won't look great, but you got, what's this, Ringer? He's been playing all right for Tennessee. I think Hasselbeck picks them apart a little bit. And I like them getting 3 points.
So it's moved to 3.5 since the lines have closed for the Hilton contest. So I really like 3.5. I think this is the game Chris Johnson blows up finally. He has a long run and maybe catches a screen pass for a touchdown. I think this is going to be Chris Johnson's back. He finally went through his training camp. So I think Chris Johnson has a big game. I like Tennessee to cover the 3.5. I think Tennessee actually wins this game straight out. So,
well, that's could be an upset special, Ryan. Now the Miami Dolphins coming off their first victory of the season back in Miami, where the Redskins coming to town getting 3.5 points. Man, they know how to make this pick tough, because Dolphins -3, I feel like I'm all over the Dolphins. But that extra hook, is it enough for the Redskins in my mind? No, it's not enough. And I know you're saying this sounds crazy to lock up the Dolphins here, but you just got to look at the way the Redskins play. They're just plain awful. This is a team that has quit. And for whatever reason, I don't know why the Dolphins haven't quit, but they seem to have a little fight in them. They put together a nice game against New York that they lost, but they looked real good in Kansas City. I feel like they come back to Miami and have a little pride and win this game. What do you say?
Yeah, this is tough. It's tough to pick a team with one win laying 3.5 or 4 points, but John Beck is horrible. He's not a good quarterback. He's not.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything from this offense that makes me think they can even – I mean, it could be 6-0 Miami. I don't see
– We talked about it when it happened. The Santana Moss injury was huge for them. Between him and Chris Cooley, that's two of their best – that's their two best receivers. The defenses are starting to shut down Fred Davis, and they don't have anyone else to throw to. The running game has kind of looked not so good with Helu and Torrain back there. Give me a, you know, Reggie Bush has looked good. Daniel Thomas is starting to play. They got Brandon Marshall. If you go with the best player on the field, Brandon Marshall, he's always going to be the best player on the field. And Moore looks competent.
Bush seems to be finding himself a little bit. So, yeah, I kind of agree with you there. Now the Chicago Bears, NFC North matchup against the Detroit Lions. Lions getting 2.5 in Soldier Field. Is that enough for the Lions to cover this spread?
Why is this not 3 points, Sean?
Right, exactly. That's the thing. If you got a division game, especially of rivals of seemingly equal stature, Bears coming off a nice win on the Eagles. Obviously, it's a short week, but you're at home, so I think that negates it a little bit. But, yeah, this should be 3 points. And for that, I'll take the Bears. I like the Bears at home. For whatever reason, they seem to patch that offensive line together. I mean, that's going to be the matchup to watch, I think, the Detroit's defensive line against the Bears' offensive line. But if the Bears can give Cutler as much time as he had in Philly, or even near some of what he had in Philly, and just let Forte loose, I think the Bears could win this.
Yeah, two things. The Detroit essentially is a better version of the Eagles' defense. They play that same wide defensive end tech, and they can be run against. I think Forte is going to have a decent game. I think since the Bears realized they have to have more than five people blocking, they've been really good, and not to mention their defense has really stepped up. They have a top five pass defense, I believe, and I think they won't need to drop that extra safety into the box to stop the run, because Detroit can't really run the ball. So what I think you're gonna see is that Calvin Johnson with a lot of double coverage, and you know, if you remember back to the first time they played, Detroit ran the ball, but it basically was a couple like busted plays for long runs. So I think Chicago's defense is back. I think they slow down Detroit. And I think Jay Cutler leads them to a win in Soldier Field. Something like, you know, 27-21 along those lines.
Yeah, I think it's going to be close. But like you said, this should be 3. And I feel like 2.5 is a good line for the Bears here. Now, a game no one gives a shit about, the Cleveland Browns are hosting the St. Louis Rams. The Rams are getting 2.5 points. And I'm going to take the Rams, man. Why not? You got a player in Steven Jackson. So I think they have that going for them. I don't even know who's starting for the Rams at this point. I really don't care. I think Cleveland's a pretty garbage team. And Peyton Hillis is just a cancer on that team. He's a cancer on the Cleveland Browns. He's a cancer on my fantasy team. I say you take the Rams getting points here. Two bad teams, may as well take a team that's getting a couple points, Ryan. What do you think?
Yeah, this is awful. I mean, the Rams basically had the game in Arizona won. They gave up a late touchdown and then got a field goal blocked at the end of regulation and then had a ridiculous –
bad teams find ways to lose.
Yeah. Now, Cleveland is shockingly – I mean, they're not a good team, but – I don't think they're awful, but still, I'm going to take – I think Bradford might be back this week, And Steven Jackson's looked all right. And I like St. Louis to win on the road here, so I'm going to take them getting 2.5. And actually, it's moved to 3 at most books, so.
Okay. So, yeah, especially if you can get that number at 3. Maybe 2.5 if that's where it stays. I guess I could see why you would take the Browns, but.
It's probably a layoff game, though, realistically.
Yeah, why do you don't want to get involved in these games. First off, it means you're going to have to sit through the Cleveland Browns versus the Rams. You don't want to suck yourself into that. Oh, man, a game I'm going to have to sit through. The Philadelphia Eagles at home against the Arizona Cardinals. Philadelphia Eagles are a huge pile of shit and a waste of talent, and Andy Reid should kill himself. So those are my notes going into this game. The Arizona Cardinals getting 13.5 points. I don't know. I say take the Cardinals here. I think the Eagles win by 13. I mean, I don't see them covering 13.5, although I could see that this is the type of game they would blow out a crappy team at home in a meaningless game. But the Arizona Cardinals, they're starting Skelton, so I don't know. I think they put something together, the Arizona Cardinals, enough to at least keep it within 13.5. What do you say, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't really learned our lesson with this Eagles team. That being said, Arizona is bad, and they don't – well, I will say this. They can run the ball. Beanie Wells has looked solid this year, so you're probably right. I'm going to take Arizona. Although,
I think the Eagles probably win by a touchdown. It'll be like 24-17. Beanie Wells will have like 2 big runs, and there'll be a turnover that sets him up for an easy field goal. So that'll keep Arizona within covering the spread, in my mind.
I just want Philly to look really good so it manipulates the spread for the game next week against the Giants.
Well, we'll talk about that game. The New York Giants going in to the San Francisco 49ers. 49ers, surprising, 7-1. Giants are pretty surprising as well, 6-2. I don't think anyone had them that high. But now they're kind of getting into the meat of their schedule, a little bit tougher for them. But they are getting 3.5 at Candlestick. And, I guess you got to take the G-men here, as much as it pains me to do. I think 3.5 is a little too high. I don't see why the 49ers are getting that hook there. That doesn't make sense to me. So, I feel like 3.5 is a good number if you're going to take the Giants. Perhaps the 49ers are kind of exposed here a little bit. We'll see, though. The 49ers do play tough defense, and it'll be interesting to see how Eli kind of matches up against them. And, we're still waiting on that game where Alex Smith lets everything fall apart, and maybe it's against this Giants defense. It looks like Ahmed Bradshaw's out again. I don't know about is Hakeem Nicks back, Ryan?
Sounds like Nicks will be back. but as you saw last week, he doesn't matter. He just finds the open receiver. Although, this is another one. Why isn't it 3 points? I don't know. I mean, if you watch the San Francisco 49er game this year, with the exception of the Bucks game, they just don't score a lot of points. And the Giants defense, it's not like they're slouches. I think, the Giants defense, they're pretty good against the run, and they're going to be able to get to Alex Smith. And like you just said, Alex Smith is one of those quarterbacks. I wish they had a stat to measure it. They're solid quarterbacks, but as soon as the pressure gets there, they just freak the fuck out. And I think we might see an Alex Smith freaking the fuck out game. So I don't know. I you have to take the Giants here, I think. I don't understand the half point at all.
Okay, now we got the Seattle Seahawks at home. Currently in the Las Vegas Super Hilton contest, getting 6.5 points against the Baltimore Ravens. I kind of like Seattle here. I know I've been burned by Seattle before, and I told myself I was kind of off on this team, but a touchdown or near touchdown at home in Seattle, I think it's okay for them. And I'm worried that the Ravens might have shot their emotional wad against the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you remember week one when they dominated the Steelers, they went down to Tennessee and laid an egg against that Tennessee team. Well, I don't think this Seattle team was as good as Tennessee was at that time. I think they're enough to cover. I think what will happen is, in the same way that the Ravens took the Cardinals lightly, I could see this happening with the Seahawks. Seahawks, I could imagine getting up, maybe like 21-14 at some point, but eventually the Ravens winning 24-21, something like that. But I think 6.5 is good here. What do you say, Ryan?
I think you got a couple of things. Yeah, first of all, I feel like I've liked Seattle every week. They're at home. It's going to be a loud stadium. And like I thought was going to happen last week, I think Joe Flacco gets rattled. But I think the big matchup to see here, as long as Tavares, the Ravens defense can get beat by mobile quarterbacks. Because the Ravens will play a lot, they'll blitz with a lot of man coverage, and there'll be pockets to run. And I think Tavares can beat them that way. So as long as he doesn't gift them some pick sixes, I think Seattle stays in this game. And I think the matchup to look at is Seattle's big cornerbacks against the young, relatively inexperienced receivers of Baltimore. And I think you're going to see as Torrey Smith and the other kid from Maryland get very frustrated. So I have a feeling Seattle might win this game. I think, like you said, Baltimore is coming off a pretty high emotional game, and I think it's going to be loud. And I just we're due for a Flacco looking confused game, so I'm going to go Seattle here.
All right, we got a couple more picks here, and we're going to wrap things up. We got the New York Jets at home against the New England Patriots. Patriots coming into town, only getting a point and a half. They're not getting the 3 points. I guess there's still some love out there from the gambling community for the New England Patriots. Oh, man, it's a tough call here. I'm going to ride the Jets, you know. Just when these the division matchups under 3 points, I think you stick with the home team right now. I feel like I don't know enough about this AFC East division to clearly lay out a favorite, and the Jets seem to be playing strong here. I like them laying only a point and a half. What do you say, Kramer?
I mean, the Giants defense, you know, confused Brady, and the Jets are much better defense. They're much more talented. The key is going to be, can the Jets score? Because that I know Sanchez has looked good for the last couple weeks, but I hate to have to trust him because he's just not a consistent quarterback. All that being said, I agree with you. It should be 3 points. I'll take the team with the better defense. I'll roll with the Jets here to win a 24-21 type game.
All right, and last game of Week 10. We got the Green Bay Packers at home Monday night against the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings coming off Christian Ponder's first win. They're getting 13 points. That just seems way too high. When you consider you got Adrian Peterson on your team, you got a decent defensive line. I think in the same way that they kind of kept it close against Green Bay at home, Minnesota, I think they keep it close again within 13 points. And so I like the Vikings getting the points here. What do you say,
Ryan? Well, and they have a defensive front that can get to Rodgers without blitzing and hit him. And I think we're getting to that point of the season where Rodgers is going to start taking some hits. People are going to realize what they're doing. They don't leave a lot of blockers in, and you can get to them. And, you know, we're a week or two away from that Rodgers concussion game. So, yeah, this is definitely a big spread. It seems a little bit too big. At 13 or 13 and a half. So I'm also going to roll with Minnesota. Green Bay, their defense is flawed and they've showed it. And like you said, you got Adrian Peterson, you got a quarterback, although he's a rookie, he's looked solid and you have some speed threats on the outside. So I'm going to roll with Minnesota here.
All right. Give me your lock of the week and your upset special.
My upset special is going to be an easy one. I'll give you two upset specials this week. I think Buffalo wins this game outright. I was really surprised that this wasn't Dallas -3, especially with Miles Austin out. I know DeMarco Murray's looked better, but Fred Jackson, I think, has a good game. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick gets back to his winning ways. And I also, you know, the Giants, there's no way they should be 3.5-point underdogs, let alone – I think they win the game. They're playing better. They have a better quarterback. And they're gonna win it outright and stretch open this lead in the NFC East.
All right. Very compelling here. So which one's your upset special? Which one's your lock?
The lock – they're both upset specials, but we can make the Giants the lock this week. But if we're going a non-biased lock, take the Texans. Close your eyes. That's – You're gonna turn it on at halftime and see the Texans are up 28-3. So,
all right. Well, for my upset special, I know it's not a huge spread, but I like the Titans getting 3 points in Carolina. I think, like you said, I think they can win that outright. So, I like that pick. I feel pretty good about that. And let's see for my lock of the week. I'll take the Atlanta Falcons at home against the Saints as a pick 'em. Feel pretty good about this Atlanta team. They're looking pretty sharp as of late. And, I'm not feeling great about the Saints right here. And I think, I don't know if we touched on it when we kind of previewed that game, but I think Atlanta, a little bit of a revenge from when they played the Saints last. So I look at Atlanta to lock it up for Atlanta, week 10. All right, Ryan, good times, man. You got anything to plug?
Nothing to plug this. I was going to plug that I'd be hanging out at the rehab facility at the Southern California Orthopedic Institute, but looks like I won't be needing that. So
So can we get a quick injury update? Have you been moved to probable?
Yeah, it looks like no torn labrum, no broken bones, just a torn rotator cuff with some bone spurs.
Uh-oh, look out.
We're gonna have to
send you down to AAA. Get that pitching arm ready.
Yep.
All right, everyone, thanks for tuning in to the Sports Gambling Podcast. You can log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com, check out the archives, hit us up. And, thank you, everyone, for tuning in. For Sean making the money green, this is
Ryan Kramer. And I would just like to say that I hope everyone wins a lot of money this weekend.
All right, let it ride.
Yeah, let it ride, Sean.